You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, Hannies. It's Amir Yasai, and you're back for season two of The Take On.
Hi, y'all. It's Amir Yas. Welcome back to The Take On. I'm here with Nina Parker. I feel like it's very full circle. I was on Dating No Filter. She was part of that show. She was one of the hosts. It just feels very full circle to have this conversation. I quickly want to go through your bio because it's so impressive. TMZ Live, Love & Hip Hop reunion host, Nightly Pop, now doing Nina Parker Collection for Macy's, which is the first plus size black owned business at Macy's, which is so impressive. You're in Variety, Women's Wear Daily, the list goes on and on. Octavia Spencer, Meghan McCain, all these celebrities love it. I'm obsessed with it. I mean, you always had great style on the show, so it's just like a perfect extension. So thank you for being here. I'm so impressed.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, listen, as someone who's Persian and queer and working in Hollywood for the last 15 years, I just love to see, especially women of color, like, elevating, like living, laughing, just like you're just thriving. And I'm so love being on the sidelines cheering you on. So I'm obsessed.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Of course. And you know, when I said I was talking to you, I got a lot of DMs about this question about imposter syndrome. And I've struggled with it myself, you know, so I'm just curious, like any tips or tricks and how do you navigate that? Because you have such a strong voice and you're so like sure about your opinions and your presence and the way that you take up space in rooms. I'm just like, I would love to hear that.
You know, I guess for me, I just try to have like this authenticity about like where I'm at, what I'm feeling, and being honest with others and myself so that my expectations don't get just so out of control where I feel like I don't have a full rein on them. And so I don't know. I guess I've always just been kind of a very like open book, very, very like shoot from the hip person, but also like I had to make sure that I was that with myself. And, you know, so I think there's always these expectations that are going to be that you have the pressure about of, you know, maintaining a certain, you know, image or, you know, vision of who you are. But I'm pretty open with like, hey, you know, I'm not having a good day or I'm not, you know, this isn't who I want to be or this is like not who I want to portray myself to be. And I have to have those constant conversations with myself to just keep it healthy. You know, I think otherwise it just start to get lost in the sauce and it tumbles pretty quickly. So, you know, I just try to stay grounded. I try to stay around people who check me. I have friends and family who, you know, don't care what I have going on. They're going to tell me how they feel, but it keeps a very real view. And like my biggest fear is like being delusional. Like I feel like people, like my biggest fear is like being this person that is completely devoid of like reality. And, you know, there's people who we see where they're like, we're like, this person is out of it. Like they don't see themselves the way the world sees them. And that's like a big fear of mine. So I try to do everything I can to avoid like being out of touch.
I love that. You know, I worked as a publicist for years. I've worked with like a lot of A-list people. There's a lot of delusion. So I think that is a good fear and something to really stay away. I think you'll be fine. I mean, you're so genuine. So I'd be surprised. But it's good to have, you know, your friends and family to kind of check you. You know, when always. It comes to the clothing line, how long have you been thinking about that? Like, you know, that is like a lot of people's dreams, but you know, I've worked in fashion as a publicist and I had my own jewelry line. It's not easy with the buyers and the business and, you know, all the fabrics and being so involved. Cause I could tell just from someone who's been in fashion that you had your hand in it. Like you didn't just, they didn't make it and then you put your name on it. So talk to me a little bit about that process.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a dream, you know, and I feel bad because there are people who have wanted to do clothing lines their whole lives. And I feel, you know, it's kind of like how I feel when I see a celebrity host a huge show and I'm like, yo, this is not their job. Like, like why are they getting this big hosting gig? You know, but it is what it is. Sometimes, you know, you fall into a passion and there are people, there are celebs who are amazing hosts. They're just really good at it. And so, you know, for me, I was into fashion and I didn't know it because I had to be. Like it wasn't an interest. It was like survival. You know, I had there, you know, very limited options as a plus size woman on television. And it was something I was forced to get into because it, the other option was looking crazy every single day on television. So once I decided to get into it because I just wanted to look presentable, then I was like, okay, let me go past presentable and start to look good. And so I was like, what will it take for me to want to do these looks, you know, in a way where, you know, girls my size can pull it off. And so that just kind of became my challenge. And then ultimately when things started working for me and people started like putting me on, you know, lists of fashion and, you know, being the Us Weeklies of like, you know, making, having a cute outfit, and people would ask me, you know, I would get inundated with, where did you find this? And that was where the idea kind of came from, where I'm like, wow, maybe I should just be doing this for everybody. This isn't a fluke and people are interested in what I'm doing because, you know, this is very niche because not a lot of people provide fashionable plus size clothing. It's just not a thing. And so this really was something that was just an idea. And then at the end of 2019 started to come to fruition, and I worked, you know, with every single item. So that every piece of clothing, you know, I designed, I had a hand in, like it did the fittings, like every single piece.
That's amazing. I mean, yeah, you know, going to Macy's is the ultimate, right? Like, were you pinching yourself? It's, I mean, it's crazy. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, it was kind of nuts because I had had a meeting with my agent and just said, hey, I was kind of reevaluating. It's so funny because a lot of people were doing reevaluations of their life during the pandemic, finding out, you know, I kind of had an epiphany maybe like four or five months before the pandemic where there were things I wanted to change. There were people I wanted to remove. There were goals I wanted to get to. So I kind of made a list of things that I wanted to accomplish. So at the top of my list was a clothing line, and I approached my agent about it, and she was kind of like, okay, like she never tells me no, but she was just like, oh, this is different. Cause I hadn't actually talked to her about it prior. So she was just like, oh, this was something I had really held close to my vest. And so she was like, so you want to do a clothing line? And I was like, yeah, girl. So she was like, okay, let me make some calls. But before she could make calls, I kid you not, like a few days later, we got approached by Reunited Clothing, who's the manufacturer of my line, and we partnered with them. And the CEO of the company watches Nightly Pop. And so she was kind of like, hey, I'm a fan of the show and I love Nina's fashion on the show. Would she ever be interested in partnering up? And it just literally happened at that time where I was looking. So it was really like the universe connected us almost. And then it just happened fast. She pitched Macy's. Macy's loved the idea. And it really just took off from there. I did not think Macy's was going to be interested. I thought I was going to be like these people on the corners in LA selling incense and t-shirts. I was like, I just wanted to try to get a product out there. But, you know, God had other plans.
I love that. Not on the street. Love that. Okay. that's amazing. Any plans for a men's line or like more of a non-binary, like, you know, for like us queer people to wear? Because I want to wear some of this stuff. It's amazing.
You know, what's so funny is I just talked about this on my Instagram today because everybody is like, I'm like, y'all, I'm just getting started. Like, I literally have only had one collection come out so far. We got till the end of November for the one till the end of the year. So I just, you know, ultimately I have a lot of goals. Like, you know, I want to do all kinds of clothes for men's, for women, you know, gender neutral. Somebody today suggested plus size baby clothes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, y'all getting crazy. Someone wants me to make bras. People want me to do swimwear. So there's a lot that I want to do. It just takes, you know, for me, I worked a year and a half to get this line out. Right. So it takes time. So eventually, you know, I hope to get my Jessica Simpson on where you see everything. But yeah, right now I'm just focusing on plus women because I feel like that's where the love needs to be. And that's where there was a huge void. So that's the focus for right now.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
Great expectations.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I love that. Empire building and looking good while doing it. I'm here for it. I want to ask you about Nightly Pop. I mean, I got a lot of questions, obviously, about you and Hunter and the, like, kind of the jokey energy of the back and forth. And then y'all were on The Real, and then Lonnie kind of fed into it. I mean, first of all, the three of you, I, like, want to be friends with all of you guys, like, just hang out. It's hilarious. Like, whenever the three of you, it's, like, the perfect synergy of, like, because I don't even care about the entertainment news aspect. I just want to watch the three of you as much, you know? So it's just
That's
amazing.
So funny. That's what we get that a lot, you know? And I feel like, you know, when you're doing entertainment news, you have to be okay with the fact that people want to watch because of you, not because of what you're reporting, because by the time we air, which is at 11 o'clock at night, you know, you've seen everything. So, you know, people are watching for our take. So I respect that. I'm happy that people want to watch because of us. You know, Hunter and I had a rocky start and we didn't love each other at first. I'm not ashamed to say that. Like it took a while where our personalities are vastly different. And so it took a minute for us to warm up to each other and accept, you know, it really taught me how to like accept and love somebody for who they are and not try to conform and make them, you know, something that I need to be. He was a different type of co-host. He had kind of had a world in YouTube. He had a different kind of work ethic than I did. We operated very differently. Not one wasn't better, but it was very different. And so it took me a while to kind of be okay with how he operated. And it took him a while to be okay with the way I communicated. Cause you know, I don't think Hunter had any strong black women, you know, in his life at the time, honey. He didn't know what to do with these opinions, but you know, we really grew into a really great friendship. He's really one of my good friends now. And I think that's why we're so comfortable joking and everybody kind of is shipping us together. And our Instagrams don't help, but like we really are just friends.
I love that. That's amazing. And I just, every time you're talking, I just think of Lonnie's clap. Like that clap is just so iconic where she's just supporting Hunty or you. And it's just, it's just so, and like having her there is just so fun. Like when you guys first met, was it kind of instant? Like the three of you just clicked?
Yeah, it really was. You know, Morgan has been out on, you know, maternity leave. And so we had kind of had a lot of different people in and out. And it's rough sometimes because to be honest, when you're doing a show that has like a comedic flair, you have to kind of vibe with the people. It's really hard. So, and not everybody's sense of humor is mixed. So, you know, at times it was rough for Hunter and I because we have such a good chemistry. We didn't want to make somebody else feel like they were left on the outside, but also they just kind of had to sink. And with Lonnie, you know, even though we've all been in this business for a while, I had never worked with Lonnie before. So I didn't have a relationship with her other than, you know, cordial hello and goodbye. So we didn't know how it was going to be. And it was just instant. Like she was an instant girlfriend. We became fast friends. Like we talk all the time now. It just was an instant chemistry. And that's just how it is with some people. Some people you just instantly click with.
That's amazing. Yeah, when she took her bra off, that was
Yes, she is. I love that, like, Lonnie is not afraid to go there. And, you know, sometimes you, when you're on TV, when we're talking about imposter syndrome, sometimes you there's things you just can't do on TV. And the fun thing about our show is, like, you can kind of just be whoever you want to be because it's late night, it's tongue-in-cheek, it's raunchy, and, like, you know, it's not live. So if we got to edit something out, we can't.
I love that. That's amazing. It's such a good show. I always try to like, and like you said, it's like you catch those glimpses of the entertainment news, whether it's on TikTok or Instagram. And once it comes to show, I just want to see all of your takes. So that's what I love. That's amazing. I want to ask you quickly about, you know, the way that NBC Universal kind of, you know, obviously supported the BLM movement and you did a lot of talks and, you know, you hosted something as well. Like all of those various movements, like how has that like helped your career and kind of, again, you know, a lot of people in this industry, I've heard this out of people's mouths, like, I don't see color, I accept everyone and that whole thing. So how have you navigated some of that, like with this new heightened awareness, right? Of like, there is color, like that's a thing.
I mean, I'm a black woman, so I don't, it's not a, this is, none of this is new for me. You know, it's, right. I've been dealing with adversity since the day I was born. So, you know, it feels like the world is kind of coming into a place where of acknowledgement of, you know, different types of people and everybody from all types of scopes. But for me, it's always been something I've dealt with my whole life. So it's, you know, it's good. It just feels like, okay, I'm glad people are waking up, you know. So it's always great to get support in major ways. But, you know, to be quite honest, like I've learned how to survive in a different type of way because I had to. So acknowledgement doesn't mean as much to me as it does to other people because I've learned to live without it for so long. That it's great if people are on board, but I don't need support from anybody to stand proud of who I am because I didn't have it for so long. So I just learned from within, from my parents, from my community, how to be proud, how to stand tall, and operate with pride, dolo, because we all had to. And so, right. You know, now when people say things, it sometimes feels like it's trendy. You know, and it's just like, okay, I don't know if I'm being supported because you truly believe in what I'm saying, or if you just feel like you need to support a Black woman. And either way is okay because, you know, the exposure of it in conversations are helpful. But, you know, it's just I have a different feeling than a lot of other people do, just because I feel like, you know, a lot of us were drowning for a really long time and nobody threw us a life raft. And so right. Now that people are like, hey, you're close to shore, you know, people want to have these conversations. And I'm like, girl, I mean, okay, we can have it, but we've been out here treading water for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's very true.
It's a different feeling for me. But you know, it's always good to have conversations. It's always good. Listen, it's never too late for somebody to learn. And to open up and to support, you know, it's always better. It's better late than never. But a lot of it is late and that's okay. Right. We're just happy that everybody's kind of, I feel like, getting on board with where we should be.
Absolutely. It's like that with the queer community as well. Like a lot of pride, there was a lot of companies that were like anti-gay marriage and now they're mm-hmm. like the number one float in the gay pride parade. I'm like, are you mm-hmm. just monetizing now? Like off of our backs? Right. But you know, it's at least they bring some exposure. Happen.
You know, it's like it's just like how Hollywood is. A lot of people use each other in this business, you know, and you have to take the good with the bad. And sometimes you can use each other for good. But, you know, I think with anything, with any movement, I think somebody's going to try to find a way to monetize off of it. Unfortunately, that's just the way that this business works. So it's just like, how can we best utilize this for our community if that's going to happen?
That is very, very true. It's crazy, but it's the business that we're in. So it's good to know that. And like you said, back to not being delusional. We're aware of what's going on.
Right,
so,
for sure.
Absolutely. And just to wrap up real quick, you've been around a lot of iconic moments, especially with Cardi B's, like, you know, TikTok famous meltdowns on Love & Hip Hop reunions, TMZ. I'm sure you've seen a lot of stuff. What's one thing that sticks out where you're like, how is this my life? This is crazy. Like, how am I here for this?
I don't know if I have one thing. I mean, to be honest, like right now, my clothing line is probably the thing that I'm the most, like, that freaks me out the most, just because, you know, when you have like Octavia Spencer posting about it, or, you know, it's not really about, to be quite honest with you, I'm not like, the celeb stuff doesn't do that for me. Like it's, right. You know, I just see them. They're so normalized in my life where there's never really a moment where I'm like, wow, you know, because I feel like I've been immersed in that world for so long. It's more like the regular folks that, you know, like people who DM me, and like a girl just wore a Nina Parker collection dress for her graduation because she felt like, you know, she couldn't find anything cute and trendy for her age. And she feels empowered by that. So that's the kind of stuff, honestly, that makes me feel like, wow, I can't believe like this idea is really, truly making women feel good and empowering them. I think that's kind of where I get that like mind blown feeling from.
I love that. And there was, you know, I just wanted to say this real quick too, is there was something trending back in the summer around the Ellen DeGeneres show. We want you to take over. So now that she's stepping down, I'm going to manifest that for you here. I started a campaign on Twitter, honey, and it trended. I said hashtag, you know, Nina for Ellen.
Was so that you I think started that?
I did, girl. Yes, I did.
I got a lot of tweets, honey.
Yes, honey. So we're manifesting that for you. I think that now that she's stepped down, there's no drama. It's not like you're taking it from her.
Right.
She's living on her own accord. So I like this for you.
If this happens, then you could be the first guest, honey.
Oh, okay. This is in writing, girl. This is on a recording. I will be there with bells on. I loved having you here. Please, Nina, tell us where people can follow you. And then also, of course, the Nina Parker collection at Macy's. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you can always come to my Instagram or Twitter page. The handle is the same. It's MZ Gossip Girl. Or you can just always search Macy's or hashtag Nina Parker Collection or Nina Parker X Macy's and find the collection. We service women from sizes 12 to 24. Those sizes will be expanding in the fall. And, you know, maybe Nina Parker Baby Plus will be coming soon, too.
Okay, Baby Plus. I'm here. Listen, you're building that empire, girl. It's like you're coming for that Fenty money, honey. I see you.
Exactly.
I see you.
I'm coming for you. I'm coming, Rihanna.
Yes, honey, I'm so here for it. And I can't wait to be on your talk show, Nina Parker's show. It's going to be amazing. And I can't wait. So thank you for being here on The Take On. This is Amir Yaz. This is the ever ubilant Nina Parker.
Oh, you're
the
best. You.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Take On. The Take On is produced by Dori Berenstein and Alan Seals, edited by Kyle Moore, and is a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about me and The Take On at bpn.fm/The Take On, and of course on my Instagram at Amir Yaz Official. Yes, honey, we're official. Make sure to subscribe and rate The Take On wherever you stream your podcast, and keep tuning in for more amazing guests.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.